Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com. This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands.
Coming up for a 6:15, you are listening to The Home Run on 101.9 Chai FM, and talking to me on the Israel Report this afternoon is Yanky Farber, who you really enjoyed last week. Yanky, shalom lecha, ma shalomcha.
Shalom, baruch Hashem. It's amazing.
All good on this side also. Let's get into the news in Israel this afternoon. Apparently, there's quite a hectic storm making its way to Israel. Storm Byron, what can you tell me about that?
Well, you know, the authorities have told everybody to be prepared, and they warned everybody to make sure they don't travel in dangerous places. But so far, well, there's a lot of rain. That's it. There hasn't been anything special more than other times when it's raining in Israel. It's not like what we see in Europe, you know, what we see in America. I don't know what's going on in South Africa, but usually in Israel, the authorities are more worried than it actually happens, because it's just a little bit rain. Well, it's raining all the time. That's it. I didn't see any like crazy video that people are being rescued or something. It's just raining and it doesn't stop. And we are very happy. We need rain.
You sound so Israeli. It's just raining. The authorities have put out warnings. It's the biggest storm to hit Israel in I don't know how many years. Special precautions you've got to take. And you're just raining.
Yeah, but nothing happened. Well, listen, it's better to be prepared than not to be prepared. But I tell you what, people on social media are making fun of the warnings of the government. They say it's
okay.
Nobody cares. Nobody listens to them.
Yanky, the storm is bad enough for a plane from Larnaca to Ben Gurion to have been rerouted by Lebanon. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty historic, isn't it?
Yeah, this was crazy. It was like really headlines, and every website was like was trying to add more details, but there wasn't any more details. Basically, a plane from Cyprus that was on the way to Tel Aviv. You know, Cyprus from Israel is like 40-minute flight, very, very, just 40 minutes, you know, you take off, you need to land already, but the storm was so strong, so the plane could not fly in the regular way, and it had to go through Lebanon, and this is something big that a plane, it's not an Israeli plane, it's a foreign, company, but at the end of the day, flying a plane full of Israelis on top of Lebanon, it's not something that it happens. It never happened, I think. And also, the people on the plane didn't know about it. They only knew about it when they landed. I can imagine why they didn't know about it. The pilots didn't tell them.
But it's like the scene in Fauda when the plane lands in Iran. It's not what you want. It's
no, so want. So the plane landed in Tel Aviv. And when he landed, they told everybody that they were on top of Lebanon. And again, Israelis were joking about it. Oh, we had a chance to be in Beirut without shooting them. Why didn't we do it?
Okay, now it is interesting because we need to bear in mind that Israel is officially at war, or Lebanon is officially at war with Israel. So this is actually quite a big deal, the fact that...
Yeah, but I don't know if we can say Lebanon is in a war with Israel. It's like more Hezbollah, but obviously they're not a friendly country. I wish they would. But because I can tell you, if there would be peace with Lebanon and in Syria, many, many Orthodox people will go to Lebanon, because there is a lot of Jewish history in Lebanon, and many, many Jewish rabbis are buried in Lebanon, in Beirut, and also many, many Jewish rabbis are buried in Damascus and some other places in Syria. And I can imagine, you know, that... Syria and Lebanon will probably be like the Jewish people, like Israelis fly to Uman in Ukraine for the Rosh Hashanah, for the New Year. You would see hundreds of thousands of Jewish people flying to Syria. I think it's good for Syria and Lebanon to make peace, just to get all the Israelis to come and spend money in these countries. But it doesn't
Inshallah,
look like it's going to
inshallah,
happen, I
like they
hope.
say, let that happen sooner rather than later. Talking about some good news, I read as well that Israel and Bolivia have apparently renewed diplomatic ties after 2 years, since the Gaza war. What was the history of the ties between the two countries?
Well, Bolivia was very friendly with Israel a long time ago, but eventually they made a special connection with Iran, and obviously Iran, told them, please don't have any connection with Israel. So Bolivia stopped any diplomatic ties with Israel, and they closed the embassy. And well, there is a Jewish community in Bolivia, but not really connected to Israel, and there was no relationship at all between Israel and Bolivia. And Bolivia is an important country in South America, and Israel was trying for a long time to make a peace, get the diplomatic ties back, but the government didn't want to. But not long ago, there was a new elected government in Bolivia who supports Israel, and they made a new connection with Israel. And yesterday or the day before, the Israeli foreign minister Gideon Saar flew to Bolivia and signed the whole agreement, and hope Israel will get back some other countries' relationship. There's some other countries that cut the ties since 7th of October, and slowly, slowly, we're getting them back. Also, Paraguay, if I'm saying it right, Paraguay also very recently signed again a connection, diplomatic ties with Israel. So it's very important, and I hope some other countries will join.
Another interesting story today. The head of the army, Zamir, met with the Minister of Defense, Katz. There's been a very strained relationship between the two over recent times. Where are we now? What's the state of play between these two gentlemen who are so crucial to Israel's
In two words,
security going forward?
ceasefire. There's a ceasefire between the chief of staff and the minister of defense. It sounds very upsetting that we need a ceasefire between them, but they decided to sit down together and discuss all the appointments that the chief of staff wanted, and the minister of defense didn't want one or two of them because he found out that they were marching against the government, and they called out. He claimed they called out that people should not serve in the IDF because of the government, and they denied it. They said it's not true. They never said it. They only said that they want to serve under a democratic government. The Minister of Defense, basically, we can say he won this battle because the guy that the Chief of Staff wanted to appoint, he said he's giving up and he doesn't want to be appointed. Because he was like, he was talking a lot against the government, and the Minister of Defense won in this case. But they sat down together yesterday, and they discussed all the appointments, and they published a very nice, a press release, a very nice one that we did all together, and we blah blah blah. We're not gonna fight over the social media. Well, the whole fight was over social media, and I hope it's going to be okay now.
From an Israeli news perspective, I didn't have much more. It doesn't look like it's the most busy of days from a news perspective in Israel today. I wonder if I could maybe ask you about the drought in Iran. I don't know what you know. Is it as serious as people say that it is?
What, fighting with Iran again?
No, the drought, the lack of water, the fact that they say that Tehran as a city
Oh yeah. Listen,
is going
listen.
to
They
run out of water.
first of all, they blame Israel. Seriously, they blame Israel
What did you
that
do?
in we do everything. In 1960, Moshe Dayan, he was a minister, he was some minister, I don't remember, in 1960, he was a minister of maybe, I don't, he was a minister in the Israeli government, and he flew to Iran. Israel was very friendly with Iran at the time, and he gave them some advice how to make water, keep water, clean water, and they did it. So they say because Iran in 1960 has done it, so now they don't have water. So what did they do for the last 60 years? I mean, they could, do so many things. Many, many cities in Iran are getting dried out from water. They have no water. Every day, quite a few hours, maybe 5 or 6 hours, there's no water in the families don't have water when they open the tap, no shower. And even in Tehran, they have very, very, very big problems with water. They just need rain, but it doesn't come. Now, I don't know. Instead of investing, also Israel doesn't have enough water. So Israel is taking water from the sea and making them sweet water. They invested in it. They learned it in it. Iran, instead of investing in how to make clean water, they blame Israel for something that happened 50 or 60 years ago. And they also said that Israel, seriously, officials in Iran have said a few months ago that Israel is stealing clouds from Iran.
Oh, for goodness sake.
I'm not joking. Yeah. And they're stealing clouds from Iran and they move. Well, you can actually put water in the clouds in a special way. But they said that Israel is flying some secret airplanes and they're moving the clouds from Iran to other countries. And, I really feel sorry for the Iranian people because they're very good people, not the government. And they need to suffer such stupid government who's saying such garbage over the news. And they're saying it like in officially news channels. Well, the people are not stupid. I don't know if anybody believes it, but this is what they say. They are in a very, very big problem. Many, many cities have no water. I don't know how they live.
I was wondering to what extent this might aid regime change in Iran, given that they spend so many billions and billions of dollars in proxy wars against Israel. Surely the people have to turn around at some point and say, hey, wait a minute, you gave n no investment to us locally. This is what has happened, and you can't continue like this. But it just doesn't seem to happen. I don't
They
understand
have
the
tried.
hold.
You remember they've tried it in on 22 2022 when they killed the police officers killed a young lady. I think her name was Mahsa Amini. They killed her because she didn't cover the air or something. And
Yes.
they started a lot of demonstrations and they killed many people. The regime is very, very bad and they just kill anybody that talks against the government or even put a like. If we're talking about this, yesterday or the day before, the guy that represents the Jewish people in Iran in the parliament, his name is Omion Samach. He represents either Jew, he's Jewish, he represents the Jewish people in the parliament. He's anti-Israel like crazy, more than Palestinian. Seriously, he hates Israel. He's praying that Israel should be destroyed. And he wrote a very, yeah, seriously, he said it many times. And he wrote a letter to all the Jewish community. Nobody should follow any Israeli, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, should not follow any Israeli accounts, especially the Israeli accounts that the IDF has on Persian. So, and if anybody will get caught following them or even giving them a like or, responding, he'll get arrested. So the people there are very, very, they have a very, very bad life, especially the Jewish people. They don't have any freedom. Well, sometimes we see pictures and videos, they're making weddings and bar mitzvahs. Yeah, the regime controls every video that comes out from that government, from that community. And I really feel sorry for them. I don't know what's going to happen. And people say in Israel that there's going to be a war with Iran again in the next month or two, because Israel wants to destroy the nuclear weapon completely.
Yankee, we're going to leave it there this afternoon. It's nice, actually, for a change, that it was a bit of a ragua day from a news perspective in Israel. It's nice
Yeah,
for a
this is a
change.
ragua day. Yeah.
Ragua, by the way, means kind of relaxing or peaceful. So that's what we're saying. It wasn't a hectic news day in Israel. Yankee, toda rabba lecha. We'll chat again soon, I'm
Bye-bye.
sure.
That Israel report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.